praise you, Jesus. I want to pray. We'll begin in Luke chapter 2. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being, I don't know, just so huge and big, so beautiful, so complete, never forgetting a thought, never not completing a promise, never not just always committing yourself to us in everything. Thank you. Forever. Thank you for giving us your Son, life that flows through him. Thank you, Jesus, for the willingness you had from before time began, knowing and creating us, you would have to die for us, knowing and calling us into our existence, you would have to become us, and therefore we would have to then become you. What a beautiful life journey, thousands of years that we've walked this into this place. We worship you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're part now of perfection and glorification and pouring out love into our heart, causing the witness of Jesus to be made known, to reveal to us the secret things of God that have been kept for eons and time, and now are being revealed, what your thoughts are, what your plans and purposes for us that love you. Praise you. We worship you. And yet we live a day by day, moment by moment life on this planet as we become trained in listening under the voice of God and not to the circumstances of life. We learn who we are by what you say we are, not what we see or what happens to us. We worship you. May the word, the living word of God, find access to us right now, wherever we are in life's journey and in this holiday crazies. May grace abound as you did for Joseph and Mary so many, many, many years ago. May you eclipse us with glory. Surround us with glory. May glory come even now in the name and the beautiful, glorious, powerful, triumphant name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whew. Well, I could do that for a while. That's fun. Luke chapter 2, I said, didn't I? Start at verse 1. This is the story of Christmas, and I love it because it's succinct. We always read it on Christmas Eve. It just feels so right. But I want to look at it today and how glory surrounds us even in the midst of uncontrollable circumstances. And I think there's something of God wanting to let us each step inside of glory and step inside of peace and step inside of sovereignty and become comfortable inside of rest. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Can you imagine what that would look like today? 7-8 billion people having to go back to the land of their heritage. Whew, man. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. 100-mile journey. But he to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. It was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we'll pause there because we'll hit the shepherds and God's proclamation, which is so huge, next service. I don't know what that would feel like. I know it would be very inconvenient to have to leave Nazareth and make a 100-mile trek, hopefully on a donkey. We don't know. Pictures tell us it was. But point is, it seemed as though some big shot in Rome came up with this idea. He wanted to get money, and he came up with a plan, and he put a proclamation that forced everybody to move. Indeed, he did, but it wasn't he who was in charge. God was in charge. The thing that I find in life is that every time I let go of being out of control into God's glory, I find there's rest, and I also discover that he's actually in charge of the whole thing. He's actually the one orchestrating the chaos as it appears, because he's moving something around to fulfill prophetic destiny. See, the prophet, the prophet had declared that the child would be born in Bethlehem. O ye, the smallest of towns, yet out of you will come the Savior. So Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. There's prophecies over our lives that have to be fulfilled the way they were declared. Like Ruth, would you stand up? We want to welcome you. This is our Ruth, Pastor Ruth from Indonesia, who this week became an American citizen. This Thursday, sworn in, fully vetted, and blessed, and we just congratulate you for that. That is a huge blessing, and we welcome you and give you all of the blessings of America, because you have come to love our country. You serve your people, but you love our country. Now it's your country, all of it, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Yeah, isn't that cool? That's good. So, oh man, so you're showing up. A lot of people think Jesus probably wasn't born on the 25th. Most likely he was born maybe during Sukkot, maybe during the Feast of Tabernacles, because it was kind of a warm evening. Shepherds were outside. You don't do that so much in Jerusalem in the winter. Bethlehem, Jerusalem is about 8 miles difference, so it's not very far. When we go to Israel this year on March, we're going to go to the shepherd's field. We're going to go to where where Mary was, Jesus was born. In fact, we have one slot that just opened for one more team member, but you'd have to be a man, because we have an extra spot in one room. So if you'd like to get involved in that trip, pray into it. See Mac and Kathy, they're right back there. But here they are. That's why it could very well be that also Bethlehem was crowded, because you'd also have a migration toward the feast and all the people coming to the feast. In any case, they're walking through time, and now they're in Bethlehem. And it is not just the humility that God carries about himself. He is the most humble person you'll ever meet. He has no need to boast, because he is everything. He is weighty, full of glory. He doesn't promote himself, because he is himself. There's nothing more to promote. He's complete. He was sending his son in under the radar. This was not for common knowledge. It was not. It was for prophetic fulfillment. It was to bring his son into the earth to become us, to live as us, among us, to fulfill what Adam failed to do, which is to come into submission inside of temptation, and find that overcoming temptation through submission to the voice of God, finally, and living in the completeness of love that God provided him as a son, and then submitting himself totally to God to take our place and become sin for us. All of that was as the Son of Man. All of it was under the radar. Jesus never promoted himself. Hey, I'm the Christ. The few people who've got it, he said, that's spirit, that's Father. The demons that tried to promote it, he said, shut up and be quiet, come out. He did not do anything as God. He left his omniscience, omnipotence, and his ability to be anywhere. He confined himself into an earthly body, lived among us, became us, lived with us, and then died for us, which is a huge storyline. And you know, it's worth the rest of our life just pondering how God could take himself and place his seed inside a womb into an egg. He had to strip himself of all the privilege and glory and power and ability. So Jesus had to arrive by faith through revelation with spirit, times of prayer, to discover in scripture who he was say yes to what he was seeing, meditate in the words he was hearing, ponder them with the Father daily, let the Father reaffirm them in every situation, while life rejected him, while the circumstances opposed him, why from the moment he was conceived and the news was told to Joseph, he would have been under rejection because his father-to-be, earthly father, was going to say, no, thank you. Now, the funny thing is, just because we're going to jump next year, we're going to take light speed and we're going to jump into the future. I just watched Star Wars, so I know. But we're going to jump into the future, the present future, in our priesthood and kingship, that Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 4, and many other places starts to unpack, so that we can learn to be like Jesus. Yeah. See, the miracle of Jesus becoming us is the first miracle. The second miracle is the church becoming him, coming into his likeness, identifying with, living with him, where he came to learn to live amongst us. We're now rising up to live amongst him in the heavenly realm, in Christ, and walk from that place to reign on earth. So we're going to flow into that, which I find more challenging, to live by the Spirit in fellowship with the words that I hear and in my union with Jesus Christ. I think that is probably as challenging as it was for Jesus in humanity to continue to agree with his Father's words that he was actually the Son of God. And that's why we grow up to be like him. We are literally living out what Jesus lived out. Except the good news is we don't have no pressure not to sin. Thank God for that. You take that pressure off, you can find the Lord so much easier, because you're not trying to touch, not taste, not handle, not. You just start practicing. I want to be with you. Who are you? What are you saying? I love what you're saying. I value what you're saying. I choose to believe what you say. I'm going to let what you say define who I am. I'm going to walk with you. Let your Spirit come upon me. Let your truth define me. Let your Spirit come upon me. Let your truth define me. Beloved, it is a practice. It is a purposeful practice. It's going to increase soon very powerfully upon the living church on the earth, because the conformity into the likeness of the Son of God, the resurrected Son of God, is going to be activated. Father has allowed everything and will allow everything to follow the course, but he has set times for everything. And when a set time comes, all of a sudden circumstances shift so that everyone flows into the place he already prepared. That's why the world is like, have you ever seen the world like it looks this greatly? I mean, everywhere. This is the year they're called the year of the protest. Because you have had kings removed through protests. You have continuing protests. You have conflicts. It's just a really volatile time, because God's making it that way. You think, well, it's people and it's... No, it's God. Because he's bringing forth a church, and we're going to grow up into the head, and we're going to just like become fully vested in who Christ is. And we're going to fully agree with what he has accomplished, and we're going to fully honor him. I find myself every day, I say, part of my fellowship is always to just recognize, Jesus Christ, you're everything. You're my everything. You're every answer to every prayer. You've accomplished everything by your resurrection. I am here to allow you. You're my healer, my deliverer, my redeemer, my friend, my husband. You're the cornerstone of the temple. You're the firstborn from the dead. You're everything. I worship you. You're everything, because he is everything. And that's why... not only is he the foundation we're building on, he's the head we're growing up into. It's just so beautiful. I mean, and there is so much grace on that. You try it. Just try it yourself. You'll be surprised that God says, yes, I am. Yeah, I am. I am that too. I'm your prosperity. Okay, I am. I am your health. Yes, I am. I'm your peace. Oh, yes, I am. I'm your joy. Yes, I am. I'm your hope. Oh, you bet I am. You see, we ascribe, we praise. This is what Jesus did. But His fellowship was with the Father in the fact that he was agreeing that I am your son. And we do that too. But we have this great advantage, beloved. We're not the sons of God dependent upon our actions to be loved by God. We are the sons of God dependent upon our faith in God's Son to find all of the love that God has for his Son in us. Everything that he accomplished in his Son, he is now accessible for us, and all we have to do is step into the Son. We lose our place, we misstep, we fail, we can just return. We just can return. We can return. We get lost, we find our way back. And the more we spend time with him and enjoying, you know, I mean, seriously, the older you get, the more time you can spend with God. Because you can't do a lot of other things you used to do. No, seriously, it is the intent of heaven that we born into the earth, and then when we're born a second time, born into the Spirit, we would grow up into the knowledge of him, and that is found in the living Word by the Holy Spirit in the practice of being with God. Then living out the truths of God in life. And then enjoying the place he has. And I believe that our having to say, okay, I got to go through this. I didn't plan for that. No, I didn't want to do that either. No, I wasn't planning that. And I'm not looking forward to this. But even so, God is with me. And I'm going to have a really good time. I'm going to find love. There's two scriptures I want to share with you. In Jude 20 and 21. And there's just powerful. It says, but beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up upon your most holy faith, Jesus Christ, the faith in Christ, praying in the Holy Spirit. There's something about Holy Spirit that allows Jesus Christ to dwell in our heart by faith. That's Ephesians 3. That he's the power. See, I don't believe that believing is enough alone, or believing isn't sufficient to hold itself in place. Believing needs Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit brings glory from the riches of the glory of God. Holy Spirit touches and pulls strength into our inner man. Then Christ can dwell in our heart by faith. Yes, we receive Jesus by faith, but have you ever noticed how old your faith gets pretty quick? You've got to have an experience. You've got to sense, whoa, there he is again. There's the Holy Spirit affirming the words I spoke about Jesus. I said, Jesus, you're wonderful. Holy Spirit says, yes, he is. I said, Jesus, you're my everything. Holy Spirit said, yes, he is. Because the Holy Spirit's here to glorify Jesus Christ. So if we affirm who Jesus is, Holy Spirit comes alive and says, that's my job. I'm here to glorify Jesus. Make him famous. I'm going to make him famous inside of you. He's going to become everything. So that building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Or Paul says, the Father of all the families on heaven and earth would from the riches of his glory strengthen you with might through his Spirit into your inner man. So each of us have a lifeline to the glory of God in heaven. Or we can take Colossians and go the other direction. If you be risen with Christ, set your mind on the things above where your life is, where Christ is. For you have died and you are hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ who appears, you will appear with him. So I have a lifeline from heaven while I go through days, and I have access to where Christ is when I go to pray. And the two continually flow. They never break. And that's not a hard imagination. How many of you know how much can get done today with a good internet connection? Seriously, you lose your internet, what are you going to do? Offline. Well, that's what happens to us as believers. We go offline. And then we don't charge the battery, and it really gets dicey. But we can. We don't have to. We can flourish. So that is the first thing. But you, beloved, Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. First Sunday of this month, we're going to lay hands and allow the baptism of the Holy Spirit come for the season of the 2020. And I'm asking anybody who carries Holy Spirit and has that flow to help me pray and lay hands and communicate Holy Spirit to everybody for a fresh baptism. Because he is so important in living this life joyfully and hilariously and with clarity and visions and dreams and tongues and all of the beautiful stuff. So that's part of priesthood. That's part of this victorious life. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Then having done that, doing that, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself. Watch. Okay, so I'm building myself up my holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helps me. English, tongues, both work. But I'm going to, while I'm doing that, I want to keep myself inside the love of God. How do you keep yourself inside the love of God? You look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto, better translation would be, into eternal life. You see, fear anticipates bad things. Love anticipates good things. Fear anticipates punishment. Love anticipates protection. Love's going to take care of everything because Jesus Christ's mercies will find me. I'm looking for, is like hospitality. I'm ready to welcome mercies when they show up. Like, looking for the parable Jesus uses of waiting for your master to return. And when he comes, you rise to greet him, and then he will clothe himself to serve you. So it's a hospitality anticipation, ready to welcome. Welcome the mercies of God. You, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy. How do you build yourself in your holy faith? Pray in the Holy Spirit. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And it's a practice. Jesus did that. Jesus carried that as he grew up. Joseph and Mary had to kind of, you know, it's kind of like, okay, here we are. I don't know why we are. Maybe they knew the scriptures and they knew that they had to be in Bethlehem. Maybe they thought it was a government intervention. It was a terrible inconvenience. I don't know. But we get to know because of scripture. Scripture really does help. Thank God for the Bible, because if you can see it in the Bible, you can pretty well survive anything. Because the Bible gives you authority. It gives me authority to go, well, I have no idea how this is going to work, but it's in the book. And the Spirit of God comes and says, it sure is. That's what I build off of, the truth. Spirit and truth is how sanctification takes place. No other way. There's no sanctification except the Holy Spirit and believing in the truth. That's how we're sanctified. Even Jesus sanctified himself the same way. So this is going to be a year that your prayer life is going to blossom. It's going to come alive and flourish in fashions, ways that have never been, because this is going to be the best praying year that we've ever had, because more of God calls forth more prayer. It calls forth more enjoyment. Prayer is going to get so fun. It's going to be the most favorite thing you do every day. You're going to look forward to it. You're going to try to cut other parts of your day away so you can spend more time with God. It won't be a duty, it will be a delight. Yes, you may find new disciplines to get to the delight, but it will be a delight. My most favorite time of day is to be with God. I'm not right until I'm right with him. And it's not because I don't even have a petition list anymore. I just have a presence to connect myself, to abide, to receive Holy Spirit, to like agree with those living words. And he calibrates. And now this, we've been for 2, maybe 3 years in Psalm 2, calling to reign with Christ in his inheritance of the nations. We're going to get to choose a new nation in January. Yeah. We're going to put one out, and God's going to choose your nation. So Somebody else is going to get United States of America, and can we can release that to someone? But the funny thing is, you're going to keep the nation you had this year in your heart, and you're going to pick another nation, because you'll be able to carry two nations, right? Because we're not going to, you will not forget the nation you had in 2019. You never will. You'll always remember it. That's how things happen. God gives something, and over time, he etches it. He writes it into our heart, puts it in our mind. Eventually, we're going to be in Revelation 22, before the throne, night and day. Revelation 7, but now it's 22. Now it's a new heaven, new earth. It's all finished. There, his name. Etched on our forehead. Engraved on our forehead. How does the name of God get engraved on your forehead? I hope it's not a tattoo parlor. Dear God, I hope not. It can't be. It's written by the Spirit of God. By meditating in the presence of God, the truth of God, until those things become who you are. Oh. But love, it's so important. It's going to become preeminent, predominant. We're going to be inside of the love of God. Finding the love of God is driving fear far from us. Anticipating evil and punishment will no longer be what we try to control so it doesn't happen. We'll be anticipating mercies and letting go of control, because we know that mercy doesn't want control to block it. Control is a funny thing. It can keep you out of the blessing as well as out of what you're fearing. So all of a sudden, this is weird. Right now, I think I ought to do this because I don't want that to happen. But if I do this to get not that to happen, then I may not get anything. So I'm just going to instead step inside of love. We just stay in love and look for mercy. I'm anticipating mercy. Where's mercy going to show up? Mercy's going to. I mean, I've been practicing this because it just really dawned on me the last 3 months that here's how you stay in love. Anticipate mercy. Here's how you stay in faith. Pray in Holy Spirit. Here's how you're sanctified. Spirit and truth. Here's how the love gets in you. Holy Spirit pours love in our heart. But the practicing of it, the abiding, it's not like he's not far from us. He's in us. And the words we speak, the words of faith, come out of our mouth, not from heaven. They come out of our mouth from the living word that came from heaven, the holy men that spoke. But we're told to keep these words, heed these words, hide them as a light that shines in a dark place. The only thing more important, this is the book. You find a promise, it's not to be performed, it's to be enjoyed. And this little secret agent, Jesus, God's sperm, seed, inside Mary's egg, small cell, two cells, three cells, four cells, multiplication. Now a child doesn't know, brain fully alert, coming alive, but doesn't know he's the Son of God, has so surrendered to the Father and to this decision that he now has become a man. He grows up. He's cared for. That's why when the wise men left, it was God who had to wake up Joseph by an angel and say, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there because they're going to try to kill him. God didn't tell Jesus that. Jesus isn't fully cognitive of his place in life until his bar mitzvah time of life. Isaiah prophesied it. Does everybody feel this way? Does everybody think this way? Are these scriptures for me? And the Holy Spirit would say, yes, they are. See, that's what he's doing with every one of us. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. You can start whenever you want. You can start if you're 90. You can start at your 9. Think the only good news, you start earlier, you have more time to practice. And it gets better every year. It gets more Because all the other stuff starts to become not the issue, and the one thing that becomes everything is, I'm becoming like Jesus, growing up into him. I'll never be apart from Jesus like Jesus. I proved that just a few hours from now, right? Every one of us go through. I had a little tit with somebody on the phone the other day. I thought, well, there it wasn't Jesus that day. So there's a lot of stuff about me that can just quickly get apart from Jesus. And apart from Jesus, I act like Steve. Isn't that true? That's why prayer is so cool, because prayer is the thing that changes the way you see life. I remember when we first started a church 35 years ago, we would do, or however long ago, I think it was that. Yeah, maybe it's longer. Anyway, we do a morning prayer with men at 6 a.m. up in Newbury Park. And it was always amazed me that no matter what the day looked like, whether it was a foggy day, a rainy day, a sunny day, a cold day, by the time we left the house at 7, it was a beautiful day. I don't understand why prayer makes days look better. It just does. I think it's because I gazed upon the Lord. And back then, I was a striving maniac. I was a legalist. I was learning the ropes of prayer to change the world through prayer. I had no idea that I was being set up by God to have my life changed through prayer. I thought it just worked the system, learned the ways. Even though I was a maniac, I'd pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Get up, try to do my thing, my way. For God. I had no ability. How do you separate who you really are to who God really is? Except the living word that comes and starts to separate and go, hey, we're going to just, that's flesh, that's spirit. That's outer man. That's in man. Oh, now, well, let's go a little deeper. That's soul. This is spirit. Oh, how about this? That thought in your heart is really a fleshly motive, not a spirit motive. How does that happen? It happens, according to Hebrews chapter 4, through the practicing of the word naked in the presence of God. Literally, it means to practice the word. Hebrews 5, you have to practice it without religious garbs. You just start to live with the word, with God, nobody else, nobody else's plans, no one else's prophecies, no one other's schedules. You just start in to learn, and whoa, he just starts to take his place. That's what was going to happen to Jesus. That was going to happen to Mary. Poor old Mary. 40-day baptism, I'm closing right now. Here's the dedication. Hey, a sword's going into your heart, lady. Well, that's what this thing is. It's a sword. It's going to separate. It's going to divide your soul. This little baby is going to get big. And that's the problem about Jesus. He's taking over everything. He's not only everything. He's taking over everything. Every part of life, every part of who we are, every part of what we'll ever do, soon he will be everything. And she says, and that way your soul being pierced will unveil the heart's intentions of many people for them to fall and then to rise upon this rock. And so Mary's shepherds are telling her, first it's just, I got to accept what I'm hearing. I've got to receive what I'm hearing. You said angels? You said glory to God in the highest? They said peace on earth to goodwill toward men. Hiding that stuff. 12 years later, we have the record. Jesus says, what are you seeking? Why are you worried about? I have to be about my Father's business. Hides that in her heart. Now she's at a wedding, Canaan. Son, we ran out of wine. Most likely, most Bible theologians and the scripture would confirm it. Joseph is no longer. He's passed away. He's not present. She's watching over maybe one of his sisters getting married, maybe one of his brothers. He's at the wedding. We ran out of wine. What is it for me, woman? It's not my time yet. She understands enough that no, but you just do what he says. Whatever he says, just do it. And then boom, there's the miracle. Now, Jesus starts growing in popularity. He's a rabbi of rabbis. He's starting to attract crowds. He's healing people. He's delivering people. He's massively setting people free. But he's starting to speak about some crazy stuff, like eat my body, drink my flesh. eat my body, drink my blood. And he's getting a little beside himself. And so Mary and her brothers and his brothers and sisters, they gather together outside of home where he's speaking, and they want to just have a powwow. We want to help you, son. There's a few items I think you might want to tone down of your message. And Jesus, they said, your mom is outside. And he says, who's my mom? Who's my brothers? But those who do the will of God. I could just imagine Jesus' brothers just going, what? They're not going to talk to you like that, mom. He's not going to. And she's just going, well, got to do what I've been doing all my life. Going to hide that word in my heart. Then she's at the cross. And Jesus looking down. There's John. He says to, John, this is your mother. Woman, this is your son. He takes care of parental, blessing. He cares for his family. And she's going, whoa. Heartbreaking twice, three, four, 50 million times. This is not just our Savior and King, but this is my son who I carried and followed. But then he's resurrected. And he's telling everybody, don't go anywhere. Stay here until the promise comes that you heard from me, the promise of the Father. Holy Spirit's coming. One thing I've learned is hold the words of Jesus inside of my heart and learn and allow them to bring me to the place of destiny, the future, whether I understand it or not. The circumstances of life are but temporary. The glory is eternal. So there she is, and boom, Pentecost. Mary's sitting there going, think about this. Mary had to say, whoa, this feels just like 33 years ago, but better. Better, 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 better. Because this is not my son. This is my Lord, my Savior, and what a transition. 33-year journey with Jesus coming into a, I just want to pray for us, but would anybody like to have an upgrade in your journey? Find a new place that he's taking you to? Would you be willing to let God strengthen your faith by Holy Spirit and at the same time begin to become mercy expectant inside of love? And then allow God give you a new prayer life for 2020. Everybody says 2020 vision, 2020. It's going to be because you and I get 2020 prayer. That prayer. Well, stand up. I just feel the Lord's just here. It's Christmas. He's Christmas giver. Best presents are here, right here, by the Holy Spirit, the gift of God. Father, I thank you for this company of young and old, strong, weak, beginners, veterans, all here under the banner of love inside of Christ. We ask you to this morning, this Christmas morning, this beginning of Hanukkah, that you would shine the light of Christ brilliantly and beyond what we've known, beyond what we've experienced, beyond what we've had before, that you would, in the midst of the circumstances that we find life surrounding us with, that we would find a strengthening of the inner man through the glories of God communicated by the person of Holy Spirit, Christ dwelling in our heart by faith. And we would cooperate in blessing this Christ and glorifying this all in all, this head, this above everything, high priest of the confession. And we would glorify, and Holy Spirit would activate and reaffirm, and he would announce, and we would just grow inside of this massive faith. Hu Shababa. While we keep and find ourselves and hold ourselves and return ourselves into love. We are love. We are love. We're love. We're love. We're love. We're love. Therefore, we love because we are loved. And we would anticipate and look around and go, where's the mercy? There's always going to be mercy because love is merciful. It's part of the covenant. There's a faith part and there's a mercy part and the love. Now, in the name of Jesus, we ask for an activation of prayer. It won't be a practice that we have to do. It won't be a routine that we get through. It won't be the way it was yesterday. We want the 2020 prayer. Begin it even now, Lord. We put in our calendars up. Start early. Start early with us, I pray. Start early, start early, start early. However you would have each of us, young and old, you know what it would call our life into the harmony and unity of what you've given us in Christ. It's not a time clock, it's a heart clock. God, we return our hearts to you in a fresh way. We ask for an anointing of God to empower us to follow you in a new way. And we bless you this Christmas. We thank you that circumstances of life, whatever they are, we say, Jesus, find us here inside of love. Bring mercy here. That bring glory here. Eclipse us inside of glory so we can take hold of the beauty that you're doing. And see it in each other. See it in each other. We thank you for the church that's going to fall in love with God and with each other in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Blessings, you guys. Thank you.